Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. Dr. Olalai and I are in the studio today, and we are continuing our discussion on how to grow a New Testament church. And we are in a section of that discussion relating to dealing with differences in the body. If you're interested in the full discussion, we do have all of the broadcasts available on our website, and you can get the information as to how to get to our website here at the end of the program. But, Doc, you've been really kind of working us through 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, and 10, and you talked to us a little bit about differences in the body, and maybe you want to just take a minute here to summarize what you kind of have brought us up to, and then we'll jump right into what you have for today.
Yeah, we noted in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, there was a knowledge difference. It said, "Know we not that we all have knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up."
Mm-hmm.
And Paul later on, he refers in verse 7, "Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge." He's rehearsing that again.
Yes.
Don't forget, not everybody knows that.
And you would define knowledge
as the cultural situation.
You would define knowledge in a very specific way here.
Yeah, knowledge in the context of knowledge that I am free by grace.
Got it.
I have liberty. That's the knowledge he's talking about. It cannot be knowledge in general.
Yes.
But the specific knowledge in the context of the liberty that we have in Christ. And he even mentions that when he says down here that meat commendeth us not to God. For we eat, are we the better? If we don't eat, are we the worse? But take heed, lest by any means this liberty, exousia,
sure,
the power.
The authority. Right.
Liberty is really the power that we have to choose. And Paul is saying, better be careful how you use that liberty. Because in the use of your liberty, you may be a stumbling block to them that are weak. Who's the weaker brother? The one who lacks knowledge.
Okay.
Not the one who is offended. See, what's happening today is people say he's offended, he's a weaker brother. The weaker brother is not offended. He doesn't know enough to be offended. He is caused to offend.
Got it.
You see that where it's very clearly pointed out that...
In 1 Corinthians 8.
If you cause... And also in verse 13, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend," doesn't mean to be offended.
Mm-hmm.
To offend means he's run into that practice.
Well, verse 9 has the same thing. Your liberty becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak.
Right.
Now, let me ask this question then, okay, on that line. Let's say that my wife has a freedom that she would practice in our assembly, in our church, not even something that she would do really, you know, in her public life, but just say in her ability to worship God, she has the freedom not to wear a hat on Sunday to worship. And somebody in our church gets very offended at that.
Yes. So then there's a principle of deference. How far do we go with deference? In other words, I am sensitive that you're sensitive about a matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to defer to your conscience. Well, let's say that your wife knows that this lady in the church or this man in the church, in fact, I actually had a situation like that come up, a youth pastor talked to me, and he said, "There's a man in our church extremely offended that my wife doesn't wear a hat."
Huh.
Should I, in deference, make her start wearing a hat so that she is not a stumbling block? I said, well, number one, I'd have question number one, is the man consistent and faithful? No. Do you think it's a conviction with him or a crusade with him? And where I draw the line, if I send somebody's on a crusade, I say, don't defer to that, because the crusade is a whole lot different than a conviction.
Yes.
That causes a person. That person has come out of something that has been very different. I said, if you defer to someone who is on a crusade, you don't help that person.
You enable him.
You enable him. But if you have somebody who has conviction.
And he's honestly struggling.
Honestly
with it.
Struggling, then I can become very problematic to that person if I don't defer to that person. And I would say in a case like, you'd have to discern the individual who's concerned, and then what is the growth level of that individual, and et cetera, before you'd make that decision on that. You want to correct problems, not feed problems.
Right.
Because you do have a lot of crusaders whose problems will only be fed.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we take it into areas that, you know, for example, the whole issue of women wearing pants is another hot button in some churches. Now, in our church, it's not, but you may end up with people who really are upset because you aren't being holy enough. You know, what is the world going to think And to me, that's the mark of somebody who's on a crusade.
Yeah. The whole time we were on the road in meetings, my wife and girls didn't wear pants because we didn't know from church to church.
Right.
Our goal was to go there to be a blessing, not create questions.
And that's the deference principle.
And so in deference, they just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that there would be no question, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal to somebody. If they demanded a right, they had a problem. In other words, it doesn't matter what anybody says. Rather than saying, okay, I think that person can grow to a level, but I'm not going to, we're just going to defer to these.
That's a pretty good way of saying it. If a person demands a right or if he demands a restriction.
Yes.
You're probably looking at somebody who is misabusing what we're talking about here.
Yeah. In other words, I might demand a right to do what I want to do. Another person may demand a restriction on me. And ne'er will the two ever come together.
Yeah.
Well, if we could get God's mind on the whole biblical principle about all of it and see what can be done there. So you have some things that lack. There was a lack of learning that was there. And we've already covered that. Most people are satisfied to learn just enough to justify their level of comfort. In other words, don't confuse
me. Boy, that's true.
And then
they know verses that nobody else knows.
Right.
About whatever topic, whether it's a tattoo or I want to have an earring or whatever. I got enough verses. That's why I read Deuteronomy. I got to find me some verses for this.
Yeah, and then all the piercings. Who was it that said, was it Brother Farrell who said he knew a guy had so many piercings, looked like the catcher on their dart team.
Yeah, I heard that.
But you have that time. You meet people where they are, and then you begin to nurture them up. And so there was a lack of love. Not only did they not learn properly, there was a lack of love.
Mm-hmm.
And self reigns as king when love is deficient.
Mm.
Very
important.
Boy,
that is so true.
And when love is deficient, differences turn into controversies and become distinguishing marks of spirituality. When love is deficient, differences turn into controversies and become distinguishing marks of spirituality.
Mm.
Well, then you really have a problem. Because you've got Christians who are trying to grow. You've got those who are from one culture, those from another culture. You've preached out west enough. You go on a pulpit out there with a necktie on, they'll hang you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You go out east and you try to go and preach in a church out east dressed like the cowboys dress out west. They'll have you co-signed to the pit. So you have these varying cultural aspects that are there.
You know, I heard you say something a long time ago that I've never forgotten. In fact, I wish I'd remembered it years ago when I was first preaching on the whole role of these distinguishing marks or standards. You talked about the idea of they're either a badge or a button.
Yes. I said when we have distinguishing marks, for example, separation should never be a badge. A badge makes a huge statement. Mm-hmm. A button functions.
Keeps my shirt together, keeps my coat
and my
on.
Holiness standards cannot ever be a badge. That's the first thing that people notice. It should be a functional button. That's what I meant by that. That is, everything we do should be functional, not making this huge statement. And it's the first thing you see about me is my button, rather than, hey, this person is a practical functioner.
Well, that would be, oftentimes we do have those big badges that we carry around, and that's when it becomes a controversy.
So you see, there were knowledge differences, there were cultural differences, there were differences that each individual had to make, and Paul drew his lines, and then the whole concept of decisions that have to come as a result of that. I would always ask this question. In fact, when I'm doing this session with teenagers, I have them fill these out. Do I want God's best for my life? And make them check yes or no. So when it comes down to decision time, do I want God's best for my life? Yes or no?
If the answer is no, there's no point in talking further.
There's no point, right, because you've already determined, no, I don't want God's best.
Yeah.
And then second question, how much am I willing to surrender for the glory of God? And then thirdly, how much am I willing to sacrifice for the good of others? So in other words, what of my liberty am I willing to let loose in order to give the world a better picture of the characteristics of my God? And then what am I willing to sacrifice for the good of others? This is true deference.
Yes.
This is the whole principle of true deference. And what are the guidelines we use for questionable things.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how do you take an item? Now, given these three big principles, God's best, am I willing to? How much am I willing to surrender for the glory of God or sacrifice for the good of others? What are the things that you would use to make decisions about a particular matter?
1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12 gives two. There's the test of expediency. The question, is it best?
Okay.
And that's sumphero. Paul said, I don't seek mine own expediency. So test of expediency, is it best? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Number two, test of enslavement. Does it bind? 1 Corinthians 6, 12. Paul says, I will not be brought under the power of any. He says, I have freedom, but I will not let my freedom violate that which is best. Then he said, I will not be brought under the power of any. We know that we have liberty. We know that we have these things, test of enslavement. Then you have 1 Corinthians 10, 23, the test of edification. Does it build? We know all of these things. We have all knowledge, but does it edify? Does it build others? Does it build me to be more Christ-like? Does it build others to be more Christ-like? And then test number four is exaltation, 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Does it boast in God? So is it best? Does it bind? Will it build me to be more like Christ? And will it boast in God so that we can give a right picture of what our God is like to this unregenerate world?
And you know, when you put it in those contexts, Doc, I mean, honestly, most of it gets pretty clear, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we need to. What I used to enjoy doing this with teenagers, I used to throw this out to our youth group. I say, okay, what? Let's test expediency. What is okay? All things are permissible, but not all things are expedient. Name some things that way. And they would throw things out. I say, okay, when it comes down, is it best? Then maybe that's a weight that needs to be cast off.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Henry said it's better to be ignorant than infected. And when it comes to enslavement, it's better to be ignorant of some things than to be infected by some things. Better to just stay away from some of the touch of the world. And then edification, does it build? And exaltation, obviously, does it boast.
Some of the things that are going on, though, Doc, in the lives of Christians today in the name of grace and freedom aren't even close to these questions that you're talking about. For those of you listening, as we wrap the program up today, Doc O does have a discipleship journal entitled Manna that we would like to make available to you for a gift of $10. And you can send that in to the address here at the end of the program, and we'll be glad to get that out the door to you. And if you're interested in hearing all of these broadcasts, go to our website, and you're going to find all of them there. You can download them. These will be entitled The Series on How to Grow a New Testament Church. Until the next time that we're together on the Word for Life radio broadcast, may the Lord bless you.